Okay, we're going to reconvene back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge? Okay, there are no announcements out of closed session. Our student representative's car broke down, so I guess she cannot be with us tonight. So we'll move on to school reports from Loma Rica and Foothill Schools.
Thank you very much for inviting a report from Foothill and Loma Rica School. When you have a group of handsome young men and beautiful young ladies sitting in front of you, I know listening to me is probably not your top priority because you're in for a real treat. Very quickly, I know that you have a written report from Loma Rica and Foothill that you've had a chance to look at. I want to highlight, if I could, just a couple of points of some things that we're proud of at Foothill and Loma Rica School, starting with some work we did last year was overdue. We had not for some time come together as a team of educators in service of our students to have conversation about what is our mission and have agreement on the part of our teaching staff to say, why do we get up every single morning? What's our purpose? And our staff worked diligently, had some incredible conversations. I had the pleasure of kind of leading the prompt, but then getting to sit back and listen to them develop and refine what it is that they stand for as a team of educators. Subsequent to that development, each of the schools developed a set of collective commitments. And these commitments came from each of our team of teachers. They are commitments centered around student learning, student achievement, and most importantly, success for every single student. This work that our teachers spent time doing last year is the absolute foundation for what we do as a school, both at Loma Rica and at Foothill. It drives the activities that we provide for students. It drives the supports that we provide for our students. It drives the financial decisions that we have for our students. And by collectively coming together to define that mission and those collective commitments, we all have our arrows going in the same direction. So publicly, I want to commend the teachers at both Foothill and Loma Rica for the hard work that they did in defining that. Under academic achievement and instructional focus, the instructional focus this year at both sites has been on interventions for struggling learners. Specifically, Loma Rica School, just as of yesterday, launched a school-wide, very structured intervention whereby teachers are using their Wednesdays to look at student achievement data and then decide which students would benefit from a 30-minute strategic intervention the next day. We do it every day at Loma Rica School from 9:30 to 10. We have all hands on board at little schools. Everybody does a little bit of everything. So we've brought all of our support staff into the mix to provide some enrichment opportunities, making sure that our teachers, who are the absolute experts, are the ones who are working with our struggling learners. So that just launched yesterday. We're in day two of it, and it went well today, and we're hopeful that that's going to continue. We'll be looking at benchmark scores, our star reading assessments, to measure the progress and effectiveness of that model. One of the things that we have done at Foothill School, and I have to take my hat off to the teachers at Foothill School who have focused very diligently on making sure our students are ready and prepared to enter the comprehensive high school. We have moved our 2.0 passage rate, 2.0 grade point average passage rate, from 75% to 86%. And we've got another 14% to go. And each year we keep chipping away at that. so that every student is prepared and every student is passing each of their classes. And we have the means to help make that happen. We talk a lot about school-to-home communication. Of equal, if not more important, is home-to-school communication. The more we know about the students that we've been given the honor to serve, the better we can do our job. So at Foothill and Loma Rica, you'll see very clear two-way communication, both school-to-home and home-to-school. I've provided you some specifics that we have. Services there are listed. Sometimes you got to get really creative up in the foothills because we don't have access, but that's not going to stop our work. We have we've made partnerships with the Kiwanis clubs. I'm jumping to community partnerships, services partnerships with Indian Education Tutoring, the Literacy Resource Technician. The LCAT provided library funding for us to have a librarian. The LCAP, through your approval, also provided for a music teacher, which you're about to see his incredible efforts. Our enrichment activities are listed there, everything from drama to glee club, band, leadership, Girls on the Run program, keyboarding art, Shady Creek Outdoor School, which we'll be taking our sixth graders to on September 25th. Community partnerships are there. Quickly, we are a PBIS school. 2 years ago, I brought before the staff several samples of some student forms whereby teachers can record different behaviors. It's been wonderful for us to be able to analyze what our student behaviors are from a data standpoint. Those forms were developed and refined and tweaked by teachers until they got to be what they wanted. I think sometimes teachers feel that it requires a little more time to fill them out, but the benefit of that is that we are operating from a point of data and not just, well, I think, or well, here's a pattern I think is happening. We have it in black and white. What time of day requires our attention? What areas of the school require a little more of our attention, and so on. So that has been helpful to inform conversations. The PLC work, we are committed to be able to have our teachers at Foothill and Loma Rica participate in some of the PLC institutes. We were unable to participate in that this past summer, but it is on the docket for us to do in this upcoming year. To that end, however, teachers are using their time on Wednesdays to collaborate with one another through plans that they develop. Foothill School develops what their plans will be for collaboration each week. Loma Rica School now will begin to start using that time to analyze their students' data and set up their strategic intervention groups. So, progress being made. I'm going to stop now, because I know that none of that was probably as interesting as what you're about to hear. Last year at Christmas, I had a gentleman show up on my doorstep, so to speak, and his name was Patrick McLean, and he looked at me and said, "I'm your new music teacher." I knew we were getting a music teacher, but we hadn't been able to fill that position. And Mr. Carrion had an email for me saying this guy's coming, but Patrick got there before I read the email. And we talked for a long time, and I said to myself after that conversation, this guy is something special, and you're about to find out why. He has been an incredible addition to Foothill School. These students before you picked up an instrument for the very first time in February. They have been playing these instruments for 5 months. They did not know a note. They did not know how to breathe properly. They did not know how to read music. I go into this man's class, and it's pure enjoyment to watch what he does. So I'm going to turn it over to Patrick, but very quickly to all the parents that took time out of their evening to bring your students down. Thank you for doing that so that our board can enjoy the music. So with that, Mr. McLean, I will turn it over to you.
I would like to just add, if the parents out there that are wanting to take film of it, if you want to come up front so you can get their faces, not just their heads, come on up and take pictures.
Months in the making. Unbelievable. In addition to thanking the parents for bringing them down, thank you also for those first initial months where they were coming home to practice. So 60 seconds, and I know we've got a full agenda. I wanted to, in addition to our LCAP budget approving for this incredible music program and buying instruments for our students to play, our librarian just snapped some quick photos I wanted to show you really quickly. 27-year-old broken cafeteria tables now look like this. They fit in the pockets. They are absolutely spectacular, and there they are. Thank you very much to our board, long overdue. That was our field, Mr. Boom, you recognize that? Mr. Boom and I had walked that. This is after it got leveled. The sprinkler system has gone in. There is a full regulation field for all of our students out there. It is fabulous. This is the playground that had a lot of cracks, some safety issues. That very center part was a giant dirt pit that would run off, and it had to be that way because of some sewer installation when we did that 2 years ago. But this was a before over the summer, and this is what our beautiful playground looks like now. We also, so there's a walkway up to the field. We have all the back riprap is put in. And this is my favorite picture because it's all of our kids getting some instruction outside under an incredible shade structure that you approved for us getting ready to go up on that field. So I couldn't leave without sharing those for you. Come see it in person. Would love to take you around. So thank you. Again, Mr. McLean, thank you. And I'll walk outside with you and the students if you want, okay? Thank you.
Okay, comments from board members? Ms. Scott?
Hello, everyone. I have had an opportunity to visit a school that was very special to me. Mr. Gray, the Community Day School, was where I started. And I would just like to commend you on such a wonderful job that you're doing there. I know this is unexpected. You didn't expect this tonight. But I want to tell you, thank you so very, very much for the outstanding job that you do. Thank you.
I had the opportunity to visit the academy for their open house, and I was just as astonished. It was 105 in the shade, and they had to have had 100 people in addition to the students, and they put on a marvelous performance, and then went on for hours with going through the classrooms. It was a wonderful experience, and they're doing a great job.
Okay, Mr. Allison.
I just want to say I'm really impressed with the band at Foothill. And I mean, they really put out a lot of sound considering they only had 6 brass and 5 woodwinds. I mean, that's an amazing amount of sound that they put out. And you know, we can't stress how important, you know, the visual and performing arts are in education. And we just have to, you know, do whatever we can to continue to provide these opportunities. I remember at Foothill when Mrs. Wales was there and they finally ended up, you know, sending the instruments away. And it was a real loss at Foothill when they lost their band. And this is a good start. So thank you.
Mr. Rasmussen.
Again, I got to visit a few more back to school nights, and Ms. Hansen, thank you for what you're doing there and your staff, because that's the real key. When I looked at tonight's agenda, I had one concern. I looked that we had 10 items on the agenda that was going to be for ratification. So I had a discussion with Dr. Todd about all of those items for ratification, and she assured me that she was going to talk to staff to make sure that items are going to come for approval rather than ratification. So thank you, Dr. Todd.
Mr. Fleury.
This is the reason that we have music in our schools. Mrs. Hansen, I've known you for years, as you know. My kids went through Foothill. One of them is now, is teaching at Covalade. I have grandkids there. All my kids went through Foothill and Loma Rica. And you still have the enthusiasm today as you had then. You are a good leader. You are good for that community, and I want you to know that. Also, music is one of my passions. The Linda Lyons Club, of which I'm a member, is presenting 3 different programs for music. They're going to present 3 prizes. The first prize is $1,000, and the winner of that will get to perform in a studio with a professional who has trained Britney Spears, and that goes with the winner. The second place person will get $500, a third place, $250. And that will be, we've sent things out to all the schools. It's for Northern California, and we're gonna cap it at 100 people. But that's to get the kids involved. It's gonna be similar to the music themes you see on TV. It's just to bring everything out for kids that love music. And a thank you again for what you do at Foothill and Loma Rica.
Mr. Crawford.
It was about 4 years ago that Frank Sorgi from Yuba City, the Yuba City Rotary's Club, Exchange Club, gave me a call and asked they donated $10,000 and would you find a place to put our violins in a particular school and get music back in our schools. So I called Monica Oakes, the principal at Kynock at that time. And that, I think, began the ball rolling to where the board seen music is not only important, that we would really like to see it back in our school district. And this is definite proof today, and you'll see more and more of it. And I just wanted to take that moment to thank Frank, because if he didn't do that 4 years ago, we wouldn't have such an impact on music. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Hansen, I know you've been a huge asset to that school over the years. I remember when you first came up there, the graduation rates were pretty low for the eighth graders, And I remember sitting up there on the stage year after year, and each year it's gotten better and better and better. And I know a lot of that's your hard work, working with your staff, and appreciate all that you do. I did stop by several times throughout the summer. I was up that way and watched the progression of your grounds, and they came right along. Travis, thank you for your hard work up there. It looks great. You guys did a great job. So anyways, thank you very much for all your hard work. We're fortunate enough that Manbir was able to make it, so we'll go back to her student representative report.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to start off by reading Lyndhurst High School School Board report. We, the Lyndhurst High School Executive Council of the Associated Student Body of the 2017-2018 school year, will unify the school by being an approachable ASB that empowers the voice of the students to create a comfortable environment. The leadership class is currently organizing Blazer Pride Week so that the students, faculty, and staff can express the pride of being part of Lyndhurst High School. We are also recognizing our alumni. This will be on the week of September 25th to the 29th. We have assigned dress-up days leading up to the rally to boost up school spirit. We are working diligently to make everything perfect and fun. Club Rush will occur on the 26th of this month and has been thoroughly arranged by the President's Council. This year, Club Rush will be using the theme Around the World to display clubs for students to explore their interests with the purpose of encouraging them to become more involved in school, academically and socially. Following Club Rush, on the 27th is Lyndhurst's first blood drive of the year. It is coordinated by our chapter of the California Scholarship Federation in cooperation with Blood Source. Lyndhurst High School is getting ready for a great year, and the ASB is eager to fulfill each and every goal. Next, I will be reading Marysville High School's board report. We have had a good first week at Marysville High School, and we have a great year planned. In August, before school started, we had Indian Training Day. At this event, the entire freshman class spent time getting to know each other, as well as their link leaders, who will be there to support and teach them throughout the school year. We hosted our first rally of the year, which was very successful. It seemed that everyone had a lot of fun, and the Goodbye Summer theme was perfect. Finally, we hosted our Welcome Back Dance. The quad area looked beautiful at night, decorated with orange lights and black and orange decorations everywhere. The dance had a pretty good attendance, and it was a lot of fun, as always. September. We are kicking off this action-packed week with Club Rush. All of the clubs and classes are invited to have a table to showcase their club, events they're hosting, or items they are selling. This event is on the street in the middle of the campus from Wednesday to Friday. On Friday of the same week, we are having a fashion show to advertise clothing, supplies, and snacks sold at our student store. Students will be able to watch the fashion show on the street at lunch on Friday. Finally, there is a Link Crew event on Friday. The Link leaders and their Link groups will be going on a scavenger hunt to test how well the freshmen have learned the campus. In this month, we have two Pack the House volleyball games. For these events, admission will be only $1 for students with ID, and the goal is to pack the house as much as we can to support our volleyball team. We are having these events on the 14th and 25th of September. Also this month, and throughout the year, the staff will be providing lunchtime activities on set dates. So far, we have had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, cornhole games, and face painting on a Friday before a football game. The staff have plenty of creative ideas to keep exciting ideas coming all year. Lastly, I will be presenting the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts School Report. Assemblies. On Wednesday, September 13th, we will be having our first community meeting, which is dedicated to recognizing all of MCAA's 2017 spring semester honor roll students and 2016 through 2017 perfect attendance students. This will be located at MCAA's outdoor stage and will also include a game hosted by the leadership team, as well as student performances. School activities. On Thursday, August 24th, The seniors were partnered up with seventh grade students during lunch for MCAA's first Big and Little project. In this project, all the seniors and seventh graders filled out a questionnaire and got partnered up with their best match. This helped the seventh graders feel more comfortable at a new school and make older friends they can go to if they are ever in need of help. On Friday, August 25th, we had a club fair during lunch in the quad, in which all the students signed up for different clubs that interested them. Each club had an informational poster, as well as club officers out there to answer any questions about the club. Back to school night for parents and students was on Monday, August 28th at 5:30 p.m. The parents of MCA students went to all of their child's classes to see what they are learning. The Dragons United seminar for seventh grade students was on Thursday, September 7th during 9th block. This seminar was organized by the leadership team. During the seminar, we played two games related to self-acceptance and being loved by others. And the leadership team presented a slideshow on the topic of bullying, body image, and positivity. The back-to-school dance was on Friday, September 8th in the MCAA quad, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It was open to all MCAA students and was beach themed. The dance had a great outcome and many students attended it. Upcoming productions. Starflight is a collection of plays written, directed, and performed by MCAA students. Starflight will take place on September 15th and 16th at the outdoor stage at 7:30 p.m. Field trips. The Ashland, Oregon trip is going to be from Tuesday, September 19th through Friday, September 22nd. In this trip, MCA students who are interested in theater get the opportunity to go to Ashland and watch plays as well as attend theater-related workshops. Thank you.
Manbir, thank you very much. Glad you could make it. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association 326-648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Union. Okay. Public comments. I have two public comment cards. Jamie Harris.
Good evening. I'm Jamie Harris, parent of two learners at Mary Covalod, and I'm here to voice my concern about the lack of shade on the kindergarten, first, and second grade playgrounds. About 6 years ago, the trees near the playgrounds were removed, and because of this, the playgrounds are in full sun during the hottest times of the day. Last week, when it was 100 degrees outside, it was 132 degrees on the playground. This is too hot for the kids. My kids come home exhausted and often sunburnt. I'm coming to you to ask for help getting a shade structure for the school. The teachers have done a lot to help the situation by purchasing more than 10 shade structures, which have either been stolen or ruined by the wind. And so because of this, they have to take them down and put them up every day. They provide water for the kids and mist them with water bottles to keep them cool. Through several fundraisers, the school has raised $25,000 to put towards the shade structure. And I know this isn't the first time this topic has been brought to the board, but it is important to the parents and staff of the school and would greatly benefit the learners. We want to know what else the school can do and the PTCO can do to get this project started. If I could have the parents of Mary Covalod and staff stand just to show your support for the project. So like I said, we have $25,000 to put towards this project, and hopefully the board will consider helping us too, because we cannot do it alone. I want to thank you for your time, and I also want to thank you for the new air conditioning unit we just got. Very appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Sally Leonard.
The student body president of Covalon Elementary. And I want to let you guys know that we need a shade structure. It's unsafe with sun beating down. Kids may get skin cancer and come home with sunburns. It's way too hot. I've heard many kids say, like, complaining that it's too hot. And, like, all the kids are very sweaty at recess. And so I'm thinking we can build a shade structure, and then we can add solar panels on top. We have $30,000 raised for the project currently, and we could pay that, and eventually the solar would pay for the rest of the project. And in the end, we'd be earning more money than we started with. We need a shade structure, so thank you.
Thank you, Sally. That was the last public comment card, so we'll move on to superintendent's report. Dr. Todd.
Thank you. I just have two quick items tonight. One is to welcome our folks that are sitting at the table closest to you, Mr. Allison. We have Tony Veneer, who's our Executive Director for Student Services. Right. I always get that title wrong. We have David Gray, Principal of Community Day School and our Independent Study Program, and Kathleen Hansen, you've met earlier, and you all know her anyway, who's the principal of Foothill Intermediate and Loma Rica Elementary School. So welcome. They'll be with us for a couple of months. So they'll be sitting here listening, watching, and contributing as they feel the need to do so. So welcome. Thank you for being here. And the last item is I'm going to pass down some tickets. This is for our dedication, and I'll give you a second. For the Glenn E. Harris Field dedication. It's going to happen on September 22nd. It's estimated to be around 7:30 p.m. It's right before the varsity football game, and this ticket will get you in as a guest. So make sure you bring this with you and present it at the gate, and they will let you in. The Harris family has a number of tickets as well as probation, so we expect there to be a nice size group there for the unveiling of the sign, which will be right below the scoreboard that will mark it as the Glenn E. Harris Field. So hope that you can all be there, and hopefully the weather will be nice and cool by September 22nd. So with that, thank you very much.
Okay, we'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of August 22nd, 2017. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All is in favor.
Aye.
7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent?
Yes, I'd like to have under educational services, number 2, agreement with Renaissance Star 360 pilot.
Educational services, number
page
2.
Page 3.
Does anybody want anything else pulled? If not, is there a motion on the rest of the consent agenda?
Move for approval with the exception of number 2 on page 3.
Okay, motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All is in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 7 yes. We'll move back to educational services, number 2, agreement with Renaissance Star 360 pilot. Mr. Rasmussen.
So I had some discussion the other day with Mrs. Tate, and just to get clarification, I think it's a good idea for us to have some more information about that item. So, Delaney?
Good.
Good evening. So some of the questions that Mr. Rasmussen had, and I don't even know if I gave him a chance to ask a question. I think I just started explaining. So thank you for listening to the whole story. I think the basic, one of the big pieces of this is that this is actually providing a program that we already have existing here in the district. STAR 360 is just a, I'm not sure how to say, is a family of the STAR assessment system that we are currently using within our school district. The big part here is that, when I spoke to Mr. Rasmussen, is that we are going to have the sites be doing three assessments a year, one in September, one in January, and one in May. Those three assessments are not going to be in addition to, they are replacing three of the current benchmarks that we already offered during the course of the school year. One of the reasons that we're using, to kind of go backwards, we currently use STAR Early Literacy and STAR Reading. STAR Early Literacy is tied to pre-readers, so usually around the K-2 level, K-1 more so, and then STAR Reading can go from third grade all the way up to 12th grade. Currently we're using it third grade to eighth grade. We currently buy single user licenses, so that means if I'm a kindergartner, usually I would take early literacy. It would be an abnormality that a kindergartner would be a full-blown fluent reader at that point and maybe would need to also take the STAR reading assessment to ensure that we're offering them the highest quality of intervention and acceleration that we possibly can. But for example, a second or third grader or even a first grader may need to start the year with early literacy as a pre-reader, but by the time they're at the end of that school year, they're ready to move into the STAR reading program. Currently, what we do with our current system is we pay approximately $4.95, so about $5 for a second grader to be allowed to take early literacy as many times as they'd like during the school year. That second grader, if they then move into STAR reading, we then pay an additional $4.95 for that. So that's about $10 a student at that point. What STAR 360 will allow us to do is it allows us to have 8,000 licenses, and students may use any of the assessments within the STAR program that they need to be using. So whether they use the early literacy a few times or STAR reader a few times, we're not having to pay for the two different single licenses. The other piece that comes with STAR 360 is we also receive the STAR math assessment with that. And so that's an additional assessment that, again, some sites are purchasing now outside of the district. Right now we currently purchase the Renaissance programs through LCAP for the language arts. But for math, some sites do it on their own. We do not purchase that under LCAP for them. This would include that STAR math, and so they would have those three assessments available to them. There's also two additional opportunities for them to take these assessments in Spanish if we move to STAR 360. In addition to the assessments, we also will get a stronger library of customizable reports that I think is why this company is allowing us to pilot it for the year as opposed to pay for it for the school year. Because I believe our administrators and our teachers will take greater advantage and tend to believe that those customizable reports are going to be more beneficial to their students. At the end of the year, when we go to decide, are we going to stay with this pilot, are we going to go back to the single user licenses, there's going to be a lot more buy-in from our sites that they are going to want those customizable reports to continue. So there's a chance that we're going to be pushed harder to go with the STAR 360 program, purchase it instead of those single user licenses next year. That might be a little confusing in that it's showing that there's a $9,000 charge here. The way that developed is that we were going to bring forward to you today a contract for $5,000 for additional single user licenses, and we were also going to bring a contract forward to you for $9,000 with a professional development. In working with the representative from Renaissance, they said, what we'd rather do for you, because it gives them the opportunity to get their foot in the door for STAR 360, what we would rather do with you is charge you the $9,000 for the professional development if you'll pilot STAR 360 for us during the school year. So that's the $9,000 charge that's on there. What else did I miss on there? In addition, so basically we're receiving 18 hours of professional development. It's about $500 an hour. And the way we'll divvy that out over the school year most likely is with some administrative training as well as with 2 to 3 hour trainings in the afternoon after school is out of session. I think I got all of my key points on that one. One of the reasons why we are doing a bigger push this year with the Renaissance program is that there is a law, I want to say it's AB 1369, something like that. And it's tied to a new law tied to dyslexia and struggling readers, where we have to have a universal screener that allows us to evaluate and improve our current program for struggling readers. So that's another reason why we've added on to this. Any questions tied to Renaissance or STAR assessment? Renaissance, you guys might have heard of Accelerated Reader in the schools. That's where the students go to the library and they go to pick a book that it's at their reading level, and then most of the schools have a point system tied to that, and the students earn rewards based on how many points they get. This is the assessment side of Renaissance. So Accelerated Reader is a separate contract from STAR 360.
This is a one-year program.
So right now, right.
Maybe like next year we wouldn't have the benefit of this. It would probably cost 10 times as much.
That's an interesting thing. They already have their price schedules worked out with what I guess they think is their regular COLA. So the expectation is that next year's per student, and that's a good question, I did leave that out. So per student, it would be $12.95 for that entire package of assessments instead of the single user $4.95, $4.95, and $4.95. What we're going to do over the course of the year, we need to wait and see which assessments the students take right now. But closer to the end of the school year, we'll know how many early students used early literacy, how many students used STAR reading, and what we can bring to you when we, if the decision is made to recommend to the board that we move forward with STAR 360, we can show you that price comparison and show you that their expectation, if we went with single user licenses, this would be the total cost. If we go with the STAR 360 program, this will be the total cost.
So Lenny, I just want to say, when I first read this, I thought, oh my goodness, we're going to ask these folks to do more assessments above and beyond what they're currently doing. And so after our discussion, you sharing with me that we're actually going to maybe supplement this with some of our benchmark tests that we're currently doing. And I think it's really important that by utilizing this assessment tool, we need to get a baseline in September of where our children are, and to be able to start those intervention programs real early, and then being able to assess again in January and May to see what kind of growth they are. So thank you very much for the explanation, and I think this is a worthwhile program.
That's great. And you made me think of one thing I didn't say. I know I should just walk away. I never do. The test is adaptable, so when I sit down next to another student, we start maybe with the questions the same, and that test changes as we take that test in that 15 minute to 17 minute time period that I'm taking that assessment. And so every time I take that assessment, it's tied to basically what I'm able to perform in that assessment. So my assessment's not going to be the same as anyone else's in the classes. The assessment I take in at the beginning of the school year, the middle of the school year, and the end of the school year will change based on my improved academics. So many teachers will also offer this assessment more than just those three times a year. There will be teachers, it's recommended not to give it more than once every 2 weeks. There will be teachers who just probably left this room. There's a lot of those kindergarten teachers from Covalad. And so they may choose to use this assessment more if they would like to do that. Thank you for letting me take an extra minute.
Any other questions, comments?
Is there a motion on educational services number 2 under the consent agenda?
I'd like to move if we approve the agreement.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Allison to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, we'll move on to new business, educational services number 1. This is resolution 2017-1803, availability of textbooks and instructional materials. We're going to set a public hearing for September 26, 2017. Okay, purchasing department, resolution 2017-1804, state contracts.
This is an item that we bring to you annually, so you have seen this many times before, depending on how long you've been on the board, and it is asking you to approve the resolution that will allow them to acquire materials, equipment, supplies, services, a whole myriad of things under this item. So the recommendation is that you do approve.
I move to approve.
So moved.
Was there any questions? No? Okay, there was a motion by Mr. Crawford and a second by Mr. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay, resolution 2017-1805. This is also under purchasing department disposal of obsolete textbooks and instructional materials for the 2017-18 school year. Dr. Tolman.
And it is an annual resolution that we bring forward so we can dispose of those items that we no longer need.
This is something that we see every year.
Every year, this time of year, yes.
Is there any questions, comments? Is there a motion? Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Facilities and Energy Management Department, number one. This is change order number one for Foothill Shade Canopy Project.
Okay. So this item, as the principal pointed out a minute ago, we put up that shade structure. And at the time when it was first laid, the pad itself was not going to be large enough. And so Ryan made the decision when they suggested that we could, at that very moment, go ahead and make the pad larger so it would fit the entire shade structure for additional $4,000. In order to do that, then we have to bring that in for ratification. But that's one of those decisions you can only make while that cement truck is turning. And in the best interest of the students in the district, Ryan thought it was a good judgment to do that. I would echo that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hodson. Are there any questions? If not, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Business services number one, resolution 2017-1806, designation of representative and an alternate to the school insurance joint powers board. Mr. Hodson?
Sure. So we're part of a collective called the Joint Powers Authority, and that we pool together with a number of other districts to minimize risk. And in order for me to represent the district on that board, I would need to be officially designated by the board to represent you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions?
It would also allow me to not be the designee and be the alternate, so I would really recommend the board approve this.
Just saying.
With that addition, I move for approval.
Okay, motion by Mr. Crawford to approve, seconded by Mr. Allison. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes.
Thank you.
Okay, business services number two, 2016-17, unaudited actuals financial report. Mr. Hodson.
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. This will be the unaudited actual presentation closing out the 16-17 school year. Worth noting, this is Ryan's slide that I got from him both at El Monte and again here, but it's worthwhile to point out where we are in the cycle of the district, the cycle of our financial process. I'll come back to you multiple times throughout the course of a year at each of the interim reports to see, and typically I'll give you an update when we do the governor's budget, which comes out in January, and again with May revise and the like. But this dot here shows we are here. This is essentially closing out the 16-17 school year. So this year has gone around the entire circle. 17-18, of course, is just beginning. Another way to look at this more sequentially, you start back in really in January, but in earnest in last May of 2016, when you do your projections for the year. And then over the course of the year, you refine those, you add things as things pop up. And then you get to the end of the year where you see now in September, we're gonna just close out, make any changes that have happened really since May. And mostly what this results in is us closing out accounts that we had thought we might spend money in. Again, going back to a year ago, May, that for whatever reason didn't happen in the course of a given year. And then that, with the blue arrow kind of circling back, the fallout from this then becomes available for the current year. So when you look at this, your eyes should come down to the bottom line and the ultimate variance. We're adding about $4.2 million to your ending balance. That's really a pretty good news story. Remember that if, to the extent it's positive, that's great. If it's negative, that would indicate some real problems with internal controls. Even if it's a dollar, that shows we're not doing our job. These are really lumped into a couple of different categories, and the next couple slides we'll lay those in with some little more detail. But these are relatively small amounts. If you look at what we had projected back in 16-17, again going back to May of over a year ago, you can see most of the things got done. There were some changes, some deliberately, and some just you flat out didn't get to. And we'll talk about those here in a moment. So in revenue, as we go to close out the year, our budget is indeed an estimate. The state's revenue is variable, and so we lost about $600,000 in LCFF as we go to do our closeout. $91,000 of local revenue, donations and the like from what we had projected, resulting in about a $700,000 decrease in our expected revenue. To our variances, a little more interesting stories here. Some of those we knew about. You can see that we spent more than we had initially projected in May for salaries and the like. That's one of those things that's okay. I know I said a minute ago that if we go over, that would be bad. That's because we had not at the time projected any salaries or retros and the like. And so when we do, that would be bad business practice to go ahead and build in some expected raise. We add that after the fact. When you go down towards the bottom, those numbers in red, those are all almost exclusively one of two things. Either projects that we didn't do, Edgewater restroom, for example, increment 3 of the air conditioning, that a year ago May, we thought we're gonna try to get to those, we set money aside. That can roll over into the next year. The other thing that you'll see in there, just as an example, is you see textbooks. There's a lot of those cases where we just continue to put money into it every year, but the cost to buy is so expensive that you might put that in for a couple years, and then it sort of continues to build until you make a large purchase. Okay. So this is a little bit more. I added this slide because I think it gives a sense of perspective. And what you'll see going from one year to the next, really going back to 13-14, and looking at the whole picture, you see that revenue has gone up by about 30%, and you'll see that your expenditures have gone up by about the same amount. The one thing that's really interesting to notice is in a big organization like this, and remember we don't get our real budget to plan with until the May revise, and very quickly then you're trying to turn out a project for the next year. And these organizations of this size don't turn quickly. And so it looks like each year, well, geez, we keep adding money to the fund balance. But if you look down to where it says totally, they showed me I could do this on this thing. So if you look here, there's 69.7 million in our 14-15 expenditures. And that, there we go. That essentially looks a lot like the revenue from the year prior, right? So we get a new revenue if it goes up. We just can't add people and programs between May and the start of school in August. And those things take some time to ramp up. Cautionary tale is that same thing is true in reverse, that if we started to contract, you can't just find out in May that we're going to get less money and somehow, you know, magically cut programs. These things take time to both expand and contract. All right. A little graphic history of our ending fund balance. It is largely a good news story that it continues to grow. The total is less instructive than I think the unassigned or unappropriated is. There's a lot of things included in the total. One thing that gets lobbied around, we're a district that requires a 3% reserve by law. That is not really a reserve, and it has always sort of bugged me that we call that our reserve for economic uncertainties, because the minute we go into that reserve, the minute we have a 2.99% reserve, we're all out of a job. The county comes in and takes us over. So that reserve is comfortable. We will spend into that again with the course of a little bit of time, and it will help cushion us in leaner times, which I think we're going to see here in a minute. I'll talk about that in my closing slide. This is what it does to the 17-18 budget. When I come back for the first interim and we have a little more fidelity on our cost of labor this year and other sorts of changes, we'll update our revenue but also our expenses going forward. But what this really does, you can see the change to our beginning balance and our projected ending balance accordingly. All right, so these are the conclusions. I want to just belabor a couple of points here. So overall, about $5.6 million in variance between what we had projected about a year and change ago through now. All positive, which is, of course, good news. The current budget then shows about a $5.6 million surplus. A big part of that is we got about $1.4 million of one-time money that they were not in the governor's budget in January. They said we're not going to do that anymore, and then at the last minute added that in. So there's a large chunk of that right there. But let me talk for just a minute about the future forecast. And Ron Bennett has a quote he likes to say that he's successfully predicted five of the last four recessions. And I think that's probably a pretty common trend amongst business folks. But there's a couple things to be aware of. One is that LCFF implementation is essentially complete. I showed you a minute ago about a 30% increase in revenues over the last handful of years, and boy, that sure feels good. But that has been planned for a while, and what happened is they were planning on doing that over about a seven-year window, but tax revenues have been so good for the state, they have accelerated that above where they thought they were. But all projections say, having done that, having fulfilled our Prop 98 guarantee, that that's going to level off. So this sort of continued growth will not continue by anyone's estimations. The second thing to remember is that through a whole bunch of decisions, the Serrano Priest decision, the Prop 13 change, we have changed to a revenue system that is largely driven by three receipts to the state. And that is personal tax, corporate tax, and income tax, as opposed to property. And the big difference there is it's very volatile. So when we're growing, it's great. Revenues, the coffers are full, and through Prop 98, a lot of money comes to us. The same thing works in reverse. And many members of the board remember that in the recession years of 07, 08, that contracts very quickly, too. And we end up in things where you have deferrals and the like. So that having that that reserve will be very important during those years. Because again, we're a big organization that just, you can't contract quickly without doing a lot of harm to either students or personnel. A couple other things that I would highlight, and if you look at our PERS and CERS rate, those are built in law, and just through 2021, which is when the PERS numbers are done being officially written in law, and then they begin to fluctuate, CERS goes out farther than that. If I just look forward to 2021, multiply our current salaries by the new increased PERS and CERS rate, that's about $3.4 million per year in today's dollars. We also have the COP payments come and due, that's about $2.8 million. So if you add that together, you know, you're looking at a little over $6 million, $6.5 million worth of payments that doesn't do a thing, that doesn't help our kids in the classroom, doesn't give raises, doesn't repair buildings. And that's something that just in the long term, I think we need to be cognizant of. So I don't mean to rain on a sunny day, but it is something I think we should be aware of. So with that, I would field any questions.
Mr. Hodson, just a comment. I think that's very important that we look at that down the road. Within the next 5 years, it's going to start costing us a lot of money that really aren't going to benefit kids. So in order to make our district still viable, we really need to start having that plan down the road. And thank you for pointing that out to us.
Mr. Hodson, on the additional PERS CERS rates, $3.4 million annually, so that's going to be a compounded number, correct or not correct?
That will be $3.4 million per year, and then they're going to begin to fluctuate. If
it stayed at 3.4, it'd go to 6.89, or what would be then a 10.2, and so on and so forth. So
no, that would be an annual rate of 3.4 every single year there on out, and we expect them to continue to go up. The PERS will continue to go up. It's actually already written into law, and it goes up by another 2% a year, 2% of your salaries. The STRS is not written into law, but by all accounts, that fund is so undercapitalized that it will. It's going to also need to go up.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? No other questions or comments? Then is there a motion on the 2016-17 unaudited actuals?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Business services number 3, resolution 2017-1807, adoption of the 2017-18 GAN limit
and the 2016-17 recalculations. Mr. Hodson? Thank you. Any questions? This is something that we see every year annually. Yes. Is there a motion?
Thanks for turning my mic off.
Motion by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Allison. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion's approved. Seven yes. That was the last item on the agenda, so meeting's adjourned.